Good morning, good morning. Welcome to this day. Welcome to the Journey to Magnificence call. We are so glad that you have decided that for this time, this moment, this next hour, that you're going to be with us. This is an amazing journey. If you're new, if you haven't been part of this, you're going to just be filled with awe, and you're going to feel really good about being here, because we study, we learn, we grow, we support, we love, we encourage, we continue on with each other on this beautiful journey to magnificence. So welcome to the call. Today is a very, very special day. And I'm going to say a lot more about that after we bring out Mark. Mark Johnson is our morning messenger of motivation, and he brings us a message every morning that just lights our hearts on fire and connects us with the messages that are going to be shared today. It just is divine inspiration. It's perfectly aligned, and we stand in awe and amazement of how that works, but it works every single time. So, Mark, if you're out there, we are ready to receive your message today. Come on out, Star 6.
Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Mark.
This is our word of magnificence for today. If you intend to be of assistance, your eye is not upon the trouble, but upon the assistance. And that is quite different. When you are looking for a solution, you are feeling positive emotions. But when you are looking at a problem, you are feeling negative emotions. Thank you. Thank you, Trish. I love you and our journey to magnificence family.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Wow, what a powerful message. Are you guys hearing that click? Is that something on this end? Or is Mark, if you'll mute out, we'll see if it ends. There was a click that kept going on. And if you couldn't hear exactly what Mark was saying, he said, if you want to help people, this is basically it, if you want to help people, then look for the solution, don't look at the problem. Because where your thoughts go, where your focus goes, that's where the energy goes. And so focusing on the solution is opening up doors. Focusing on the problem is like hammering a nail, closing it down. Okay? How's the clicking? Are you...
The click is still there, Trisha's Jackie.
Okay, let me try a couple of buttons. Hang on. Okay, I started the recording over. Now let's see if the click continues. Y'all let me know. I'm going to start talking. If the click starts up, let me know, and we'll probably have to redial in. Sometimes things happen like that. I'm hearing it. Are you guys?
It's still there.
Everybody muted out, Star 6? You should be. Oh, I've got you muted out. Never mind. Let's go on. Let me get started. Let's see how it goes. I know it's going to be fine. It's going to be perfect because this is a powerful call. And there are forces beyond what we can even imagine at work right now. So, in our favor, of course, of course. We talk almost every day about the journey that we're traveling. That's why we call this the journey to magnificence, because it's a journey of discovery and expansion and aligning and awakening and growing. And as we study the books and as we share the experiences and share our stories, we find that sometimes the path ahead, the path that we're traveling, whether you want to think of it as going forward or moving upward, however it is, we're filled with joy and excitement, aren't we? All is good. All is well. But then sometimes the path gets dark and it's not so clear. And we stumble. We fall. And we start searching for the light again. We can't see. We start searching for the light. We pray. We ask. We seek. Help, 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 help. And the light comes. And sometimes the light comes in the words of the book that we're reading and studying. Sometimes it comes when we sit in silence and meditate and listen. And then sometimes a bright, shining floodlight is given to us to help us carry on, to help us continue. And today, the floodlight is here. And I'm so honored and I'm so grateful that we have this opportunity to be illuminated by Rhonda Shinley. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what Rhonda has already accomplished. And it's pretty amazing, really, to read this list of things. I mean, you're going to be awed by this. She became an ordained interfaith minister in 2011. She lives in Indiana, and she does non-denominational services in that area, in the Northwest Indiana area. In 2014, Rhonda completed her cancer care leadership training with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. In 2004, she got her Master's of Science in Holistic Ministries. In 2001, she got her bachelor's degree in metaphysics. Wow. And she has worked in the traditional medical field, and then she shifted to holistic medicine, and she became a massage therapist. And she's completed Reiki training, and she's got additional training as a chiropractic assistant and a medical assistant and an EKG technician and a hospital unit secretary. I mean, she has done a lot. But that's not really who Rhonda is. It's just what she's accomplished, you know? Who she is going to be evident on today's call as she begins to speak and share her words and her story. And you're also going to get to meet her husband, Mike. She affectionately calls him Love Bug. And you're going to feel the energy between the two of them. It's what I heard the first time I tuned into her radio show. It's beautiful. They feed and lift up each other. And when Rhonda and I talked about doing this call earlier, we decided that instead of trying to decide what the call was going to be about, because as you can tell, she could talk about any number of topics. I mean, she's so educated and has so much experience and knowledge in many different fields. But we said, no, we'll just let the divine inspiration flow through her. We'll allow that, because that works every single time. And so it is with great love and eagerness and so much gratitude that I welcome you, Rhonda, and Mike, to the call. Come on out, Star 6.
All right. Can you hear me, everybody?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yay! And I'm also on as well.
Hello, Mike. Hello.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so very, very much.
Really nice to hear an introduction like that for my wife.
Yeah.
Just feels great. Kind of gives me chills, you know, knowing all the things she's been working on over the years.
I know.
Appreciate you sharing that.
It's amazing. So, Rhonda?
Yeah.
You have the floor.
Don't leave me.
No. We'll come back around, but
yeah. Okay.
You've got the floor. You've got our hearts.
Oh,
so
you guys are amazing.
Share.
Thank you. And please, you know, jump in if I'm starting to go over or whatever. And I will ask eventually to open up the lines and ask questions, because I love that. I love that interaction with everyone. Thank you, Tricia. You're an amazing woman, and your heart is gold. It's just the most beautiful heart. I feel you across the ethers. I really do. I just connect with you. Even when we're not talking, I connect with you. You're an amazing woman.
I feel that too, Rhonda. And I feel that. You're there. Always.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much. And what I'd like to start out with, I refer to Mike as my love bug. And even this morning, I told him, I said, you know, you're my partner in crime. You're my best friend. You're everything to me. And this is how Mike and I, you know, chit-chat with each other. And we've been married for how long, Mike?
23 plus years.
and happily. I mean, we laugh, we giggle. And it didn't always used to be that way, everyone. It didn't. I went through a very tough spell several years ago, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. But I want to first start out by saying I loved what Mark said this morning. So I'm sending out waves of gratitude for the comment and the opening of solutions. We focus on solutions versus the problems. And I think it's a poignant place to start with what Mike and I may share. Like Tricia said, there's nothing planned here. I just want the divine to just flow and just allow the connection to be with all of us here on this call, just to be in this sacred place and space. It's an amazing thing to do with one another. I can't begin to tell people how that feeling is for me. When I come onto this call and listen to you all share, I feel it. And that feeling is really a powerful thing for me because, like Tricia said, she shared with you my background, my bio, but who I truly am is something to be shared about an experience that I had. Back in August of 2007, I do remember even prior to that, I recall just not being happy with life. I had an upbringing that was less than desirable, to put it mildly, and conflicts with in-laws and things of that nature, and I just felt very displaced in this world. I just didn't feel like I belonged. So my thinking was negative. I was just so unhappy. And I remember I began not sleeping. I couldn't find my place. I was unhappy. Mike knew it. And even at the time, I went through for 10 years, I had what was called social anxiety disorder. So to be out, and you would never know that now, by the way, I am and talk, but I couldn't leave the house. I was agoraphobic. I couldn't leave the home. And I stopped sleeping. And I remember that there was a thing within me that just said, you know, things are just not good. It's just not right. And anyway, so I decided, you know, it's really time to try and get things together. And at that point, Mike's father had passed away. In fact, he passed away on Father's Day in June of 2007. And in July, I went for a physical, and there was a mass that was detected in my right breast. And I had to go in for my mammogram, and they observed the mammogram and determined that it was considered suspicious. And you hear those words and you just know. And with my medical background, I said, this doesn't sound good. And so I had the biopsy, and indeed it came back that I was stage 3 breast cancer and went in for surgery, and it was determined that it had spread. So things were getting even more scarier. And I realized this, something needs to be different here. And you talk about a jolt of reality, that will just put you right into reality right there. And they said to me, Rhonda, this is going to be a bumpy ride. And it's not going to be easy. And you're going to have to really put your mind to it. That's an interesting choice of words. Okay. You're right. And so I went in for the surgery. Biopsy came back. I mean, the surgery came back that it had spread, stage 3. So they said, Rhonda, you're going to have chemotherapy and radiation and possibly medication. And I was just scared, just truly, truly scared. And so at the time, what was really special is prior to being diagnosed, I was already planning a trip that I thought would be really good for me to help me with whatever I was going through, to go to Europe to visit my friend Jackie, who lived in England. She was a traveling nurse. She lived in England, married a gentleman out there. And she said, come out, we'll go to France, we'll go do this and go do that. And I said, fantastic. And then I thought, oh, no, after surgery, I'm not going to be able to go. And my surgeon looked at me and said, Rhonda, you need to go. And I said, but I still have stitches, you know, in me. He said, go. This is going to be very, you need this trip before you come back and start your chemotherapy. And I said, wow. He said, it will be spiritual. It'll be really good for you. And I thought, spiritual, you know, there's that word spiritual. I thought, okay. And so I did. And I went to Europe and had some very spiritual and amazing experiences that I can get into in a moment if we lead into that. But I came back and still not sleeping. So if you can just kind of take that in for a moment, I stopped sleeping. I was exhausted, fatigued, scared, tired. I come back, and just about 10 days after that, which was in October of 2007, I went in for my first chemotherapy treatment. And not knowing whatever chemicals that were in the chemotherapy, what happened was I had an allergic reaction to it. And I went into what was called sinus tachycardia. My heart rate went way out of whack and went up, and I was rushed to the emergency room. Ultimately, I was admitted into intensive care. They thought I may have had a blood clot because I had just come back from a long trip from Europe, and that wasn't it, and determined there was one of the medications, and they did not know which medication it was. So about 2 days later, again, now my hair is already falling out just from the first treatment. And they didn't know which medicine it was, but 2 days later, still not sleeping, they gave me the same medication. And again, I went into sinus tachycardia. But at this time, with my fatigue and exhaustion, this was really it. So the crash cart, Mike was in the room. When this took place, he was standing there and he saw the EKG machine go crazy up on the wall. And he went down the hall to get the doctors. They were already coming in, crash carts and everything. I could hear all this commotion go on, attaching things to me. And they're talking to me and saying they're injecting me with all these different things. And I'm kind of out of it. And nothing was responding to my heart. None of the medication was responding. And I could just hear really scary things that people were saying. We need to move her. We need to take her. We need to do these types of things. And then all of a sudden I heard the doctor say, we're going to push this one more time. And he said, Rhonda, you're not going to feel right. You're going to feel weird. This is going to feel weird. That's the last thing I heard. That's the last thing I heard, and I went out of my body. And this is the powerful point I really want to share with everybody, is while that was happening and they were pushing the drugs in me to get my heart back in rhythm and bring it down because it was climbing to 180, I was ready to stroke out. And I was screaming at the EKG monitor, which, by the way, was mounted on the wall across from my hospital bed, up on the wall. I'm screaming at it, please go down, please go down. And when I went out of my body, the first thing that happened, some would refer to this as an out-of-body experience. But because I was focused on that EKG machine up on the wall, that's where I went. It was later learned after Mike and I began to talk that that's what happened, because at first Mike and I were talking and I was saying, Mike, why did they shove that EKG machine in my face? And he said, honey, nobody pushed the EKG machine in your face. I said, oh, yeah, they did. I said, they put it so close to my face I could see the trademark, the TM symbol on the EKG machine and who had made this particular piece of equipment. So it brings a very powerful piece of information to all of us as I'm sharing this, is that, as Trish even said in the beginning, that what we focus on is, you know, energy, where energy goes, attention flows, or maybe it's the other way around. Mike will probably correct me if I say it backwards. And that was key to me. Because what I was focused on is where my consciousness went to. That's exactly where I went, was to that machine of what I was focused on. And from there, what happened is, not knowing what happened, from there I ended up in another location. And it was beautiful and serene. Now, some people, this is where the near-death, what I would determine as the near-death experience, for me happened, is I was in a beautiful, like what appeared to be a valley and hills and just gorgeous. And it was there that I saw no one, but yet I knew I was being loved and cared for by many. And to keep it brief, I believe what happened to me was what needed to happen, which was a download of information. And that download of information is things that I share in many talks that I do. It's powerful pieces of information. And what it was also saying to me on the other side was, Rhonda, you already know this. You already know this information. This, and it felt familiar. It's like, why do I know this? Why do I know this? Because we all have this information. We all have it. We have everything we need. And in my near death, and what I deem it as is like a download. If anybody has ever heard of a download, you know, like on your computers, I believe that's what was happening, but yet I already had it. I had that information, and maybe all that was happening is it was being re-released and opened up so I could utilize it. Because it was in that information that I was to come back and heal myself. And I was going to use the knowledge of what I already had, but yet was told, and to come back and heal myself. And so this is where, you know, I'd like Mike to share with me that this very specific part, wow, I go out of my body, and what I was focused on, that's a powerful piece of information. I go straight to the EKG machine. The information that was given to me on the other side, what was proportionate and given in a way that was like, I am a professional student, and I believe that was the way it was given to me, like I was a student. It was something of a way I would understand information. But I wasn't sitting at a desk and, you know, like a student and a kid. But yet that's what the feeling felt like. I felt like I was being given information like a teacher-student kind of relationship. And I believe that that's what Mike and I would love to share with all of you, and we'll try and condense it in a loving way. But Mike, is there something you would like to contribute from your point of view up to this point?
There really is. Now, the way that Rhonda portrays this is actually a fairly serene situation. And, you know, in her perspective, that's what it was. Me standing outside and watching what was going on at the moment that the doctor tells her this is going to feel weird. And it basically goes from Rhonda, you know, laying in the hospital bed, you know, and being very agitated, extremely agitated. She can see exactly what's going on. She knows damn well she's about to have a stroke. And the moment he says this, Rhonda just essentially collapses right back into the bed. Eyes open, everything else. Her heart didn't stop, but it started dropping almost immediately. She was sitting at 180, and it dropped, I would say, down about 100. And when we admitted her into the hospital a couple days earlier, she was idling at 130. So obviously she was in pretty bad shape after that first one. You know, and she'd probably drop down to maybe 110, 120 when they gave her the drugs again. And so, you know, that just propped her right up to 180. So, you know, the whole experience to watch this, and as I'm heading down the aisle, you know, saying, you know, my wife is in deep trouble, you know, please help her. The doctors and all the other, you know, the nurses and all that are heading down the other aisle. So I'm basically, you know, shoot, the entire, you know, the reception area is empty. What happened? By the time I get up to go in the wrong direction, apparently. So, you know, I circle back around and I see, okay, now my wife's office hospital room is completely full. So, you know, that's a little bit of a surreal thing to happen there. And the other thing is when she was, we had a discussion after all this happened, and Rhonda was saying, you know, I really need to, and by the way, this all happened, I believe, on a Sunday night or Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
So you don't have the regular staff of, you know, of the most experienced doctors. They're on weekends. So we have an intern that's taking care of her. And this intern did a fantastic job. There's absolutely zero complaint. It's just, you know, when you're seeing your wife, you know, essentially getting ready to die, or to have, you know, an extremely, you know, big problem, you really want the best of the best. And this intern just did a fantastic job. And Rhonda was saying, I really want to go back and apologize to the intern for, you know, screaming all the things I did at him. And this is the moment we realized Rhonda's experience of that moment and my experience were very different. When he put that drug that kind of gave her the out-of-body experience, she was essentially silent. She didn't say a word. She was, you know, she was barely aware of what was going on around her. So there was no screaming going on whatsoever. And yet when she left her body, that's what she was doing. She was, you know, yelling at everybody for, you know, pushing the display in front of her face when this display was a good 10, 12 feet across the room and still mounted on the wall with her in the bed. So, you know, it was basically this realization that something very different had happened, and Rhonda started recognizing that she had been given information. She had actually, you know, visited another spot while she was still in that hospital room. And that was kind of this, you know, this whole thing. Okay, you had a significant experience there that, you know, we really need to start learning about. And that's kind of the part I wanted to share.
Thank you. From his perspective, and that's where this really got started, because that is also because I thought, you know, and Mike and I do giggle about a lot of this. You know, I'm thinking, man, those drugs must have been good, because, you know, all these different experiences that I was having, and I kept attributing my experiences as the drugs, because I had stayed on drugs for quite some time. I had to, the chemo and the things that kept me from having nausea and all that. So I was, and it's a valid question. And having a medical background, I'm saying that was the first thing I went to. You know, it's got to be the drugs. I mean, what an experience. Now it gets a little more interesting because of the way I even feel today. I'm still having these, what Robert Tremblay, and I'm reading his book about his near-death experience, and it's like, oh my gosh, somebody is understanding me. When you go and read books and you've had an experience and they had similar experiences, it helps you process what you've gone through, because I guarantee, as I call it, a spiritual awakening. It is a spiritual awakening that I had, but it's the after effects that Robert Tremblay in his book 20 Seconds talks about. It's not the focus of the actual near-death experience. It's all the post effects that goes on and continues to go on to this day. And one of the things that still happens is that it heightened all of my senses to a point that it's just like off the charts. It's just so, so high, and so it doesn't take much. Being in a crowded room, I have to prepare myself to go in a crowded room. I can do that, but I have to prepare myself because my senses are just so heightened. And I don't know if anybody out there has read Jill Bolte Taylor's book or is familiar with her book called, I believe that one is A Stroke of Insight, I believe was her book. And My Stroke of Insight. And I went to read her book because she is a neuroscientist. She had a stroke, and she did not die, but yet she a near-death experience, but she yet had similar experiences that I still have. And I believe she was explaining that her right hemisphere of her brain was heightened. It was activated in a very intense way. And anybody who would walk into the room, she would sense their energy, almost to the point that she could recognize if that energy was thinking negative, if that energy was thinking positive, frightened for her, or inspiring or encouraging her. And I said, oh my God, that's what I feel. And I feel it all the time. And I even told Mike, I said, you know what that feels like for me is when you watch TV, there's a little ticker tape that goes at the bottom of your screen. And that's how people's energy is relayed to me. And they're talking to me. Their soul is talking to me. I said, this is what's happening to me, Mike. And he said, you know, describe it more. And I said, I can see people's mouths move, but when I'm truly tapped in, I don't hear what they're saying. I'm listening to what, like a transcription of their soul that's telling me what they truly feel. And that in of itself is like, wow, okay, how do I handle that? So it's...
And clearly it's not always a pleasant experience.
It's not always pleasant. And as Robert Tremblay writes in his book, 20 Seconds, he has the same thing. And that's why he keeps reiterating throughout his book, folks, it's not just the near-death experience. It's the post effects that go on and go on, that he wants people to be aware of and understand. We've had this spiritual awakening, and to try and get back into the world, and you're altered forever, you're changed forever. And it's a blessing, and at the same time, it's like one of his quotes that he said was, what was familiar to you is now foreign. What was foreign to you is now familiar. And that was a powerful statement for me to read in his book. I thought, oh my gosh, I get that. I truly get that. And some have referred to this awareness of energy. They call them clairsentient. They're highly acutely aware of energy. And it's not just with people. It's anywhere that I am. I could just feel energy. And to try and harness that and work with that, that's just one thing out of many of effects from this experience. Now, if I can bring it into another place of sharing with you, and it's taken me, okay, that was 8 years ago, and I had to put this together, and there's three words I would really love to share with all of you that kind of encapsulated what I was to understand. As simple as these words are, I can deduce them to three words. They're powerful. And those three words are attention, intention, and vibration. And the way I believe I understand some of that is, what do we feed? What do we give our attention to? And what is it that it's giving back to us in that reciprocal fashion? Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever that might be, attention. What are we giving our attention to? Because what you give your attention to is what you're feeding. Intention. Intention, I began to understand in a more deeply fashion, is your intentions, are they coming from ego? Are they coming from your heart? And those two things begin to affect your vibration. And how I understood it from the other side is your vibration is very, very important on this physical earth and else, and even on the other side, okay? And if you have negative thoughts, if you are in negative situations, your vibration goes down. And what I began to understand, now, being on the other side, whether you want to call it God, whether you want to call it energy or whatever, it's saying, Rhonda, I am giving you a clue here. When you go back, this is what you need to do. You need to keep that vibration high because that vibration is equated to your immune system. And that's like a powerful piece of information for me. It's like, aha. But the universe did not, or God, or whoever you believe to be God, wasn't saying in a very concise, clear manner of how I was going to do this. I had to put it together. I had to piece all of this together and make sense of it. And I did. It's taken me some time, but I did. And vibration equated to the immune system. I thought, okay, and what I give my attention to, because what I was giving my attention to, friends, before my near-death experience, before breast cancer, I was unhappy. I'm not a victim here. I was unhappy. I take full responsibility for what I felt, believed, and did. And that needed to change. And my intentions needed to change. And I wanted to raise my vibration. And so I began that journey. And I had that spiritual awakening, and I said, I have this opportunity. Even in my chemo fogged phase, I sat there, Mike went to work, and what I had time to do was think and work on this. And as I was going through treatment, I can share with you, I started doing this and I said, oh, I'm having a flashback. And the flashbacks began to be, again, I kept attributing some of this to the drugs I was on at the time. It's like, oh, I'm having a flashback. And that flashback was the near-death experience. It said, oh my gosh, I have to recite this affirmation. And I started writing it down. And I took out a piece of paper, and I was given an affirmation on the other side that said, my mind, body, and spirit are vibrating in the highest, healthiest, happiest, most harmonious frequency. And I'm thinking, now, wow. And huh, Mike, I would say, man, those drugs are good, right? I mean, it told
me. Yeah, I mean, you actually had several of these things that came out of, you know, several of these little sayings that came out of that. And that's that's one that really stuck with you.
Yeah. And to the point, yeah, that one and God on the other side, I was told to recite the Lord's Prayer. And the reason, and to do it often, all the time, because it held the highest of vibration of words. Now, I'm waiting for people to just send me off to the funny farm because of these things. I'm thinking, words have vibrations? Okay, you know, these drugs
and
really are good.
Just to add a quick perspective to this, Rhonda became an interfaith minister after this happened, not before. So this wasn't something that she was used to doing on a regular basis. I mean, the Lord's Prayer and things like that.
Right. And it's not exactly. I went back to complete my seminary work because I didn't think I had anything to offer anybody. I just didn't finish it. And after I went through this, it's like, yes, I do. I have a lot to share. I have a lot to offer people and empower and inspire. And that's what I'm here to do, is empower, heal the spirit, and empower the soul. That's what I want to do. That's my legacy. I want people to know that these things are real. It's our thoughts are powerful. Our mind is powerful. We have the power to heal ourselves. There's so much that I want the world to know. I really do. And when I'm on the train here going to Chicago or wherever I am, you know, people ask me, you know, oh, typical, what do you do, that kind of thing, and I'm a minister. People share with me all these types of experiences, yet it's supposed to be not talked about. That's the thing that really makes me giggle, is these types of topics, whether it's quantum physics, whether it's paranormal experiences, which I did have. I had a near-death experience, okay? You know, I went to the other side. I came back. I had a man from the 1800s stand next to my bed. These are my experiences. And people come to me and share so many similar topics, and they say, oh, I don't want to talk about that to my mom or my friends. I say, why? Well, you know, they're going to think I'm weird or I'm, you know, going against God or religion. I hear it all, my friends. I hear it all. It's like, how can you be a minister, Rhonda, and believe in metaphysics? Or how can you believe in paranormal? Isn't that, you know, devil talk? I mean, I get the whole kit and caboodle. I'm thinking, first of all, this is my experience. And the amount of people that come to me and share identical experiences on the paranormal, some that have had near-death experiences that I'm now having conversations with that are so similar in nature, and here I've never met these people, I have to take a look at that. I'm a very inquisitive person.
By the way, one of the most critical statements you've ever received along those lines actually came from a relative, you know, about, you know, basically this being the work of the devil, so to speak.
Right.
You know, this is somebody who, you know, who is known within the family. It's like, you know, as somebody very religious, it's like, ah, well, there's an interesting perspective. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, exactly. So I hear it all. And I told Mike the other day, I said, you know, part of my legacy is to get rid or help alleviate that fear, to make it okay to talk about. And even if you haven't experienced that, I encourage people to just stay open. It's like, even if it doesn't make sense to you, at least try and stay open to the possibilities of things. It's when we close down that nothing gets in. The light doesn't get in. The information doesn't get in. And I typically say I reserve the right to just hold that information, and should a time come that either I have the experience or I see something different, I can say, aha, this is what so-and-so shared. And it makes more sense now. So that's and you know, this has happened over many, many months, my friends, and so I'm condensing this into a very compacted conversation here, but that in essence is what I went through, and that is what I want to share with everyone, is the power of the mind, the power of our thoughts, the what we really hold within ourselves. And there's a quote in Robert Tremblay's book, 20 Seconds, that I used to say 22 Seconds. I think I'm getting it right now. Everything is energy, and your perceptions of it is what defines it. I thought that was a powerful quote. And he, too, says in his book that it's the effects, post-effects of his near death that is what continues on. And by the way, his quote is something I'm adopting now, because he died. I mean, he had a near-death experience, and he was in hospice and is no longer in hospice, and it's 3 years out now that he's no longer in hospice. And he's writing about the same thing I'm sharing with all of you, is the power of the mind. And he says that my life depends on vibration. And meaning being around negative people lowers his immune system. And he needs to keep his immune system up for a lot of reasons that I don't want to share on this call, because I really would encourage everyone to read his book. And you'll understand why. But I thought, aha, that's another confirmation for me of what I experienced about vibration. It's a powerful piece of information. So his life, literally, he says, depends on vibration. He cannot align or give attention to things that are very, very negative and abusive or toxic. So it leans to, I mean, this is a common thing I hear from my fellow peoples and friends that have gone through a near-death experience. So I welcome any questions, Tricia, from you or anyone. I hope that I shared that in a manner that was understandable.
Oh my goodness, Rhonda, very, very understandable and very powerful. And I know that everyone that's listening right now is just processing it, like, oh, wow. Because I've read stories about people who've had these experiences, but I've never listened to someone that I know share her experience. And it's so much more powerful than just reading about it. I'm blown away by it. And I'm also just, I marvel at how God, how the universe finds a way to get the message to you. I mean, for you to say, I'm a student, I'm used to sitting and learning.
Yeah.
And that's how you experience this, as if you were the student and the teacher came to you.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone else, it could be very different. It just depends on what – everyone is so unique and
mm-hmm.
so intricately designed. And so this is what Rhonda experienced. But that's not just – and I don't even think you have to have a near-death experience to experience this.
Right, right.
As you said, just like Robert said, be open. Stay open.
Mm-hmm.
Stay open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to let others come on the call. Yeah. Rhonda, so give us an update on how the cancer progressed.
What do you mean, hon?
You came back and you changed your whole...
My whole
your
life.
Whole being was changed. And
yeah.
You're still going through chemo, but you realize that your immune system is going to respond to your vibration.
That's right. In fact, that's what I was going to say, and I didn't finish that thought, I don't think, which was, as I was going through treatment, I began doing what I was told, or shared. I don't like the word told. Lovingly given to me. And every time they did the blood work, it was responding better and better and better. Each treatment, they could not believe how my immune system was responding so well. I mean, I was just coming out of it. And it was just, I said, oh my God, then this is real. I was reciting the Lord's Prayer. I was reciting the affirmation. I was, you know, singing. It said song was high vibration, good music. I mean, I can just give you so many things of what raises vibrations. We could sit here all day and talk about the awesome things that raises vibration. And I was responding. The doctor even said, what are you doing? I said, only if you knew.
Yeah.
Right? So that was my confirmation. What I was given, you know, was real, and it was responding to that. And that's 8 years ago, folks. That's stage three and a near death. And here I am. That's 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Rhonda. Awesome. Okay. Yes, come on out.
This is Jackie. Nice
Hi,
to finally talk with you. Can't wait to meet you in person, which should be somewhere between May 1st and the 4th or so. But we'll talk privately about that. Thank you so much for coming on the call today. Is it just amazing how synchronicity works? My daughter and I have been watching Ty Bollinger's The Truth About Cancer series. We finally took a break yesterday from it, but 9 episodes on cancer treatment and why most of it doesn't really work. And the very first episode, I think it was, they talked about the communication of the immune system, and that since we all have little bits of cancer cells wandering around in our bodies, it's the immune system that takes care of that and gets rid of those before they become a problem. But when the immune system is compromised, and I really believe that it's vibration. When your vibration is low, just as you're saying, then you get ill. And then cancer has a chance to take hold. And, of course, there's many things that we can do that encourage that sort of thing or discourage it in our, you know, how we take care of ourselves and diet and, you know, all kinds of things. But I think it's fascinating how most of the allopathic conventional therapies tend to make the immune system weaker. And yet, what is the thing that strengthens it the most, even above and beyond all of the other things that we can do for the immune system? But it's our vibration that lifts it. And so that's one of the things I work with people on. And that brings me to the second point, that it is difficult to talk to people about the metaphysical, the paranormal, the spiritual, because we're in a culture that is so allergic to anything that's beyond the five senses that, you know, the only way I have found that kind of works to ease people into it, especially those who are not spiritual, is to give them the science that's beginning to back up what we are learning about consciousness and about quantum physics and about neuroscience and, you know, like the Heart Math Institute and all those, those sorts of things. The trouble is that most of us who would like to somehow bridge that gap, most of us don't have the luxury of having learned about what's going on in science to explain it that way. And so we're left with, okay, how do I share my experience in a way that will speak into that other person's listening? You know, how do I get this across so that they can take in the vibration of that information, that vibration of the message that I have to share with them? And there is the challenge. But really, it's about resonance. You know, when we are able to vibrate in a way that sends love and compassion, they know that on a soul level, people vibrate with that, and they either are ready for it and they're like, they really like you, or they're not and they want you to go away.
Right.
So that's what I found. And then there was a third thing.
Beautifully said, by the way.
Thank you. There was a third thing, but I can't think what it is right now, so it must not be the right time. So I'll star 6 and let you guys chat with someone else.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
All right.
Oh,
you're welcome.
And Jackie, I just wanted to chime in real quick, that second point that you made about people like you or don't like you. Rhonda seems to have a little bit of a polarizing effect that we've noticed. And it's, you know, it's just a very appropriate statement you made, and just wanted to thank you for that.
And thanks
good
for
morning.
Saying that too, Mike. Good morning. Good morning to
Hi.
You.
I enjoyed your talk, and it brought me back to a place that helped me confer when I had my out-of-body experience. I had died with our second daughter.
Oh,
and I actually didn't know all of this was happening to me. What I remember was meeting my father and him talking about how much he loved me and did I want to go back with him and this, that, and the other. And somewhere through it, I realized I had a purpose. And my purpose was for me to go back and raise my child. So I came up real cold. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't see, and I started to pinch me wherever I was, and I'm like, okay, I got to be living because I'm feeling me. And then all of a sudden, somebody walked up, and I said, excuse me, excuse me. I started hearing myself say, excuse me, this lady, and everybody got real quiet, but they came towards me. I guess somebody tried to tell me I had to already have been in the morgue because my mother said it was like a half of a day, and they kept saying they were reviving me and working with me and everything. So after I said bye to my father and I came back and I described my child, and people were saying, how did you even know you had a little girl? How did you know exactly what she looked like? I said, I don't know. But anyway, after that, my vibration picked up on what God gave me was to be able to help people. And the first sight of it was I saw sitting in church one day a man getting shot, and I was talking to my mother-in-law, and I said, Mama, I said, am I going crazy? What do I do with this? And I told her, and she said, you won't believe it, but God may be telling you to tell him that. Go and tell him. I said, no, that's stupid. Okay, after service got out, we noticed the police and everybody flying by the church. Come to find out, it was true. My mother's death, I saw the time, exactly what they would say to me.
Yeah.
How much money she had. But anyway, moving from that, the other thing that God had given me, and I thought it was strange, to know when someone needs a hug or a word of wisdom. I still haven't got a line with the universe to figure out how I know that or why, but yesterday I had confirmation where a lady said, do you remember me from 8 years ago when you first moved to Baltimore? I said, no, ma'am. She said, you were in Rite Aid. She said, and I thank God for you. She said, because everything that you stopped and said to me came to pass, and can I give you a hug? So if we stay aligned with what we're trying to do, it works for us. And I don't want to go into that worry about whether people like us or not, because I used to do that. I used to say, somebody going to think I'm weird. Don't you do that,
Shirley.
So I can't. I have to go with the flow.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that. That's powerful.
Thank you for being here today.
If you guys, Rhonda, if you have the time, we can continue the call. I don't want to infringe upon what you've got planned for the rest of the day. We're at the top of the hour. It's totally up to you. I'll leave that up to you.
Unless anybody has any questions, and if I offered some wisdom or help, that was my point of getting across. I think I'm very happy with what I just shared. If there's no other questions, I think I'm good. I think I'm good, my friend.
I'm encouraging you all to, if you have not yet connected with Rhonda on Facebook, do so. and become part of her spiritual practices group. Rhonda, just if you would share your contact information, your links, your website, share all of that in the group with us so that we can really, all of us can really get connected and stay, we're already connected, but do more to stay in touch with you and follow your teachings. You know, the exciting thing about Rhonda has a radio show that she does. Is it every 2 weeks on Sunday night? Is that correct?
It's every second and fourth Sunday on 247thestream.com. That's 247thestream, 247thestream.com.
Tell them who's going to be on your show this coming Sunday.
We're going to have the beautiful and delightful Pam Grout, who has written E squared and E cubed, and she's got a new book coming out that, in fact, it was supposed to come out in August, that's in October, called Thank and Grow Rich, with some brand new experiments that she has. So that's at the 6 p.m. hour Central Daylight Time. And then we have Maggie Lukowski. She's a metaphysical coach, a numerologist, astrologer, and tarot reader. And she also does long-distance holistic healing energy therapy and spirit angel channeling. MaggieMoonTarot.com is her website, and PamGrout.com is her website for Pam. And, yeah, and if you go to InterfaithMinistryServices.com, that's InterfaithMinistryServices.com, that is my website, which has my radio show information. It has who I'm having on the radio show this Sunday, as well as my services. And my as Tricia knows, I do a spiritual laws, theories, and practices group, which is every third Saturday of the month here in Indiana, Northwest Indiana, and at Unity Church every fourth Thursday of the month. But all that information really is on my website. If you want to friend me, I welcome it at Rhonda Hampton Shinley for Facebook. That's Rhonda Hampton Shinley, S-C-H-I-E-N-L-E, for Facebook. We also have a Spiritual Laws, Theories, and Practices Facebook. I would really like for you all to join and chat with us, too. So.
All right.
That's what I have.
Oh, Rhonda. I have been transformed this morning by your story. And I was already inspired by you. But knowing more, it just has opened up. And I'm overflowing with joy and with gratitude and with knowing. Just from what you shared, it's that confirmation that yes, this is real.
Yeah,
what we're experiencing,
real.
what we are reaching for, what we are discovering, it is real.
And the power of your group, which is a loving family. I feel the love in your group,
mm-hmm.
Tricia, and I'm blessed to be on it and listening. Journey to Magnificence, when we get a group together, look at what we can do, friends. Look at what
yes.
we can do. Raising consciousness, you know, inspiring, empowering one another, sharing. I hold a lot of gratitude to you for what you're doing, Tricia. You're an amazing woman. You're inspiring. You're encouraging and empowering. Journey to Magnificence. How powerful and inspiring is that, to do that journey together with our fellow brothers and sisters, right? Really? Come on.
It's the best road trip ever.
It is. It is so fun.
Oh, man. All right, you guys. I know that this is going to be a recording that you're going to listen to again and again. You're going to share it. I'm going to share with my sister today, whose husband has cancer. I just know that she will listen. And I mean listen, not just listen. You know what I mean? Thank you for that. Maybe that's the whole purpose of this call today. Who knows? Thank you, Rhonda. And mine.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here. We'll do it again.
Happy to be here.
There's so much more for you to share, and we look forward to another time like this. So,
wonderful.
You guys, let's get out there. The world awaits.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Shine your light, and we'll be back here tomorrow. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.